Well, I had to deal with some issues this week, and I believe that the Lord God has brought them to a righteous end. Don't I look good this morning? Now, I didn't say handsome, I just said look good. And the things that I've gone through in the last 2 or 3 weeks and some of the encounters that I've had, and I look at the ones I had with God a whole lot more visible than the ones I had with the enemy. And I see the things that God has done, even through what I've had to go through. And we had one little nurse. She came in our room. She looked for every reason she could to come in our room. Can I help you? Anything you need? Do you need anything while I'm passing by? And we got to share with her and talk with her. And she was a Christian, but she was shaky. But her life changed because we had the opportunity to sow some seed into her. And she said, I have more confidence in my future now than I have ever had because I've been in contact with you. Amen. And our home health nurse told us the other day when she came by, and they still got to come by and do some blood work and things like that. But she said, every time I come here to see you, I learn something. And I thought, well, praise God. Because even though I've gone through what I've gone through, I have never laid there in the bed for those extended period of time or sat around with a poor old me attitude. Oh, bless my heart, it's just so tough. Was it tough? There was times, yeah, when it was tough. But I looked for every opportunity that I could to sow a seed of encouragement in somebody else. And we had to do that. And one of the things that the Lord showed me, I wept when I told Laverne. Did you know you can entertain fear and not even realize you're doing it? And I looked at things and I told Laverne, I said, you know, God showed me something. I said, you remember back when we didn't have anything? We didn't have anything but God. And when God said do something, we did it. And we never thought about what we were going to do tomorrow. We never thought about anything like that. It was just do what God wants you to do. And I realized as we go through life and as we build ourselves into the kingdom of God, we get to a point where we have achieved certain things and we have brought certain things into our lives, and if we don't watch, we get to the point where there is a fear in us that we're going to lose it. And instead of stepping out in faith and trusting God, we start to defend our territory. You know, we can get so concerned, if we're going through physical stuff, we can get so concerned with defending our healing that we get all wrapped up in ourselves. And we miss the opportunity that God has given us. Because, you know, the kingdom of God's not about me and you. The kingdom of God is about Him. And He's given us the privilege, through His love and His grace, to be part of that kingdom. You and I didn't have a thing in the world to do with heaven. Heaven is heaven whether we even exist or not. But God has given us the privilege and the opportunity, because we are His creation, to accept Him, to walk with Him, and to be part of the glorious kingdom of God. And it's not about us. My relationship with God shouldn't revolve around me. And what I have, what I don't have, because you see, you start doing that and you'll be thankful for the good things and resentful about the bad things. Bad things come, good things come. Sometimes we get out of the way of them. Sometimes it seems like they run over us. But the whole issue is we are God's children. We are saved men and women. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We have a purpose here. There's two purposes that all of us have. One purpose is to enjoy your life here. God wants us to enjoy our life. Now, God, believe it or not, doesn't have to give you certain things that you think that you might need or want in order for you to enjoy life. The presence of money doesn't mean you're going to enjoy life. I mean, I've heard testimonies, I've seen lots of examples where people have money and they're not enjoying life. Not at all. And then other people that don't ever seem to have much of anything, and they enjoy life all the time. And I'm going to use an example here, and I don't mean, but for those of you who've been around a while, you know what I'm talking about. Libby, your mom and dad never really had much of anything. But I tell you what, you be around them, you aren't going to find too many people that enjoy life more than Lee Turner did. Amen. And then there are other people, you know, and they're just loaded and they're just blue all the time. Now, I said all that to lead into my message and also to give my voice a chance to adapt. I'm going to share a point with you this morning. I don't know how long it's going to be. In my mind right now and in what I've got, it's not going to be that long, but you never know, do you? But I am going to share with you this morning on the idea of the prayer of persuasion. Now, you've heard of a lot of different prayers. You've heard of intercessory prayers, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of supplication and all like that. Any of you ever heard the term, the prayer of persuasion? Well, it's prayed a lot, but it's not acknowledged very much. The prayer of persuasion is all the time that we spend talking to God, trying in some way or another to persuade Him to do for us whatever it is we need it done. We have to convince Him that we really need it. We have to go over and over and over. Now, God, you're not listening because I told you this yesterday and nothing has changed. The prayer of persuasion. Because we have the idea that somehow or other we have to convince God to move on our behalf. Lord, I want to get saved. And you start praying the prayer of persuasion, telling God why He really ought to save you. It's pointless. Tell me something. Why do we think that we have to convince God or to persuade God to do something for us? Do you know what that comes back to? That comes back to us putting up all of our achievements and all of our work and all of our efforts and putting them before God and saying, look, God, I think I have earned an answer to this prayer. Now, we don't talk about that, but we operate in it a lot. And we do it many times without even knowing. You know what the real issue is? You do not have to persuade God to do something for you that God has already promised that He wants to do. But we have to persuade ourselves to believe Him when He says it's finished. The problem is not persuading God about something. The problem is persuading ourselves that we really do believe it and expect it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For this reason I also suffer these things." Now if you go back and you read what he suffered, and you go back and you look through Paul's life and your ministry, and you see the things that he had to deal with, the things he had to endure. Shipwrecks and imprisonments and stonings and beatings and doing without and making a statement, "I've learned whatever state I'm in to be content." And that didn't mean he's saying, "I've learned whatever state I'm in, case or raw, or raw." He was saying, "Whatever state I'm in, I have learned to trust God in that state and to be at peace. I've been hungry and I made it through it. I've had a lot to eat and I made it through it." Because he's serving God, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." And let me tell you something. If you're going through something, if you can't find a reason, don't be ashamed. If you got physical symptoms and you're dealing with them, don't be ashamed that you're dealing with them. Be proud that you're trusting God to get you through them. "I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed." You know, it's a whole lot of trouble to believe in God if you don't know Him. I heard a minister say here recently, too many Christians have a boss-employee relationship with God, and that's as far as they get. He's the boss of the employee. He's got to do what they got to do what he tells them to do, because he's expecting them to put forth all the effort they can. And if they don't do a good job, they may just lose their job. They may get fired. They don't love their boss. They may not even respect their boss. They may not even know their boss very well. They just know, "He's my boss." But the guy said, "I've worked for people that like that, and I've worked for people that I was a friend. And we went fishing together, and we did." And he said, "It's a whole lot easier to be in that kind of position when you know that somebody that's there, that's over you, likes you." Paul said, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded." You see, too many times we're believing God, but we're not persuaded. We're believing God and we're looking for something to change, but because we don't see the change, we're not persuaded that God's really doing anything. We're not persuaded that God's going to take care of us. You know, Paul went to Jerusalem. And you have a big segment of the book of Acts that tells the story of Paul's trip to Jerusalem. And many of his friends, many of his Christian brothers, "Paul, you don't want to go to Jerusalem. You don't want to go to Jerusalem. It's not going to be good for you when you get to Jerusalem. And one of the prophets came up, Agabus, I think was his name. And he said, Paul, chains are waiting for you when you get to Jerusalem. I'm encouraging you not to go. And Paul said, now I'm paraphrasing and I'm speaking out of my heart the way I think Paul was meaning this when he said it. Well, I appreciate your concern, but God told me to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to Jerusalem. And chains or no chains, or even death, is not going to stop me from doing what I know is God's will for me to do. Why? Because I'm persuaded. Not just persuaded that I'm doing God's will, but I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. I am persuaded. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, there is a statement. Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have, than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And here's the verse. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For do I now persuade men or God? What am I doing? Am I trying to get God to do for you what you need to be done for you? Or am I trying to persuade you to accept and believe and walk in what God's already done for you? Who am I trying to persuade? So if you're going to spend time persuading somebody of something, spend time in God's Word persuading yourself that everything God has said is true and unchangeable and will work for you when you need it to work for you. Now, am I right or wrong that you know a lot of Christians that spend a lot of time trying to persuade God to do what they need done? I read all the time. And the reason being is that somewhere involved in all of that, I have got to do something to earn the answer to this prayer. You can see tinges of that even in the faith message. That having faith almost becomes a work or an act of righteousness because you have to do all of the things that people tell you to do in order to get the faith to work. What do you have to do to believe? Believing means having faith. What do you have to do to believe? What do you have to do to have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it doesn't come because you read something 25 times a day. It comes because you read it and you believe it. If you read it once and you believe it, then you read it 25 times, you're going to believe it all 25 times. If you have to read it 25 times and then finally something clicks in and says, oh, wow, that's the truth. It's no more truth now than it was 25 times ago. You just had to persuade yourself to believe it. So our issue is not praying a prayer of persuasion to move God. We need to persuade ourselves to believe what God's already done and already promised and already made available. You know, you go and you pray, God, I need this and this. God says, okay, pray a little louder. Well, you didn't pray but 5 minutes yesterday, pray 10 today. Well, you're up to 10 now. How about making that 15? When you ask me 172 times, I'll do it. You can ask him 172 times and still not get it done if after that 172nd time you're still not persuaded that he's going to do anything. And you know when sometimes we become persuaded that God's going to do something? A lot of people, they become persuaded that God's going to do something when they see it start happening. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, Mark 11, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. It says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, keep praying until you see something happen. Then you can believe it. That's not what it says, but that's the way a lot of people read it. That's the way a lot of people act. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I'll tell you what, you can trust anything that you pray about according to God's will to happen. How do you know His will? Well, His will be spoken to you by His Spirit if you can't find it in here, but it'll have to agree with what's in here. You know why a lot of people don't know the will of God? Because they keep telling themselves they don't. And they tell everybody around them they don't. Well, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I wish I knew His will for my life. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know God's will. Help me pray to God that I'll know God's will, because I don't know God's will. When are you going to know it? I mean, if you hear something that's different than what you've been hearing, how do you still know it's God's will if you don't trust that you hear God to begin with? My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. So now, what is it you have to persuade God of? Why do you need to persuade Him? You see, sometimes prayers are like resumes. Lord, I'm turning in my resume with this prayer so you'll see that I really do deserve to have it answered. You deserve to have every prayer answered that asks for something that God has promised you in the Word of God, regardless of what's going on in your life, as long as you have accepted Jesus Christ, that you know you are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and it's your desire to follow God. That's all it takes. And I'm going to tell you something. While you're doing the will of God, you're going to have stuff pop up in your life that's not the will of God. I'm walking the best I can in the will of God. And there's been a lot of stuff popped up in the last 4 or 5 years that's not been the will of God. Not the will of God that you're sick. It's not the will of God that you have pain. It's not the will of God that you're struggling. That happens. Would to God that it wouldn't. And some people seem to do really well. You know, they just, you know, and I praise God that they go right along and they don't ever seem to have any setbacks. But I'll tell you what, don't let that fool you, because sometimes people have setbacks. They don't get out here and mouth it all over the place. Why? Because that type of confession does not lead to victory. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And their testimony wasn't, oh, it's so hard and rough and the devil's about to get me, but y'all pray for me that I hold on. Their testimony is God's word's true. Everything he promised is mine. I am more than a conqueror. And I win no matter what the circumstances look like. I am not defeated. I will not be defeated. And I cannot be defeated. As long as I trust in Jesus Christ. But if I start trusting in what I've accomplished as a person in the kingdom of God, my foundation is going to start crumbling. No man can build another foundation other than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. It all rests on what Jesus has done and not what we're doing. Romans chapter 8. Give a little encouragement here. This is the way you need to look at it. You don't have to persuade God for anything. All you've got to do is believe what God has said. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all, or for us all. How shall he not with him, when he gave his only son to die for your sins, what are you going to get from God that's going to top that? Nothing. Shall not with him also with enough persuasion. Is that what he says? If you're reading it, it doesn't. Shall he not with him also freely? That means he doesn't need to be persuaded. He doesn't need to be persuaded to give you what he's already promised he's got for you in his word. Also freely give us a few things now and then. Freely give us all things. All things. Quit trying to persuade God to do what he wants to do anyway and just start thanking him for doing it and have some fellowship with him in your praying. Sit at his feet. Put your head on his breast. Drink from his cup. Enjoy him. Have a father-child relationship with him instead of a boss-employee. You know who the son of a king is? Well, you say he's a prince. Well, that's true. But he's a king. Just isn't sitting on the throne of his kingdom yet. He's still in Daddy's kingdom. We're kings and priests unto God. There is one king, but the Bible says he is the King of Kings. And as a minister I heard years ago saying, we're the kings that he's king of. Because we are heirs along with Jesus Christ. Freely give us all things. Luke chapter 12. Now, in the heading, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's, I'll skip it, but I'm going to start with it. Verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Verse 29, do not seek what you shall eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Here's the verse. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Does not say anything about if you can persuade the Father, he'll give you some of the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We don't believe that in most cases. I'm sad to say what I'm getting ready to say, but if you polled all the people that call themselves Christians, the majority of them would not say that they believe it's the Father's good pleasure to give them the kingdom. They would say, well, if I can live up to certain standards, if I can pray enough, if I can read my Bible enough, you know, if I can tell enough people about Jesus. Are you telling people about Jesus to get brownie points with God? Or are you telling people about Jesus because he changed your life? That puts a whole different attitude, puts a whole different agenda, a whole different perspective on it. You don't know how many people you've touched. None of us do. And when I hear something like Brother Sam said this morning, and you realize, you know, every Paul is still getting credit for the people he's touching now. And he's been gone for a few thousand years. But this church sowed one or two seeds into Sam Black many, many years ago. And it blessed me to hear what God's doing through you and with you, Sam. And you know, there was a time in this county and every county touching us, that there was nothing here really like us. People didn't even know who we were talking about unless there was one individual that most of them could relate to. Well, what kind of church are you? You ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? No. You ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? No. Now, it's different now. I'm talking about back then. They knew Oral Roberts, and they knew Jimmy Swaggart. And that's about it. And I'm telling you, I mean, this is my opinion. This is an opinion of this pastor. There's still not another church around here that preaches what I preach. Not with the extent. Most every other church, you sit in there long enough and you're going to get this. I got to do something in order for God to accept me, because that's really important that I keep this law and that law, and that I cut my hair this way, or I dress this way, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. Because God's keeping an eye on me, and if I don't live up to it. It comes back to what I said here a few weeks ago. God pursued us when we were sinners, and he wanted us to be his bride. So we decided we would accept the proposal and become part of his family. And so now, he's carried us across the threshold. We've had our honeymoon. Now we're in the house. And he turns around and looks at it and says, "Now this is what I expect out of you. You clean the kitchen. You make the bed. You keep the floors clean. You make sure, you know, and I don't want to see a spot here. And I don't want to, and if you don't do all that, buddy, I am going to backhand you across the room." Now, you know, people might not, they might never have thought of it that way, but that's exactly what the kind of relationship they're living in with God. When they were lost and he found them, oh, but now he's such a taskmaster that he took all the joy out of their lives. And everything they do out of fear that if they don't do it right, he's going to come after them. Now, you may think I'm exaggerating, but I'll tell you what, you get out there and you talk to a lot of people and listen to what they say. Does God love you? Well, yeah, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But now if I mess up, he's going to shoot me between the eyes. Well, that's real love. Now, it's a father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But now we've got lots of groups. There's somebody, two or three in every county now around us. And we got people that used to be here that are in most of them. Because this is going on, that's going on. This is where it's at now. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am not ashamed that my whole message revolves around God's grace and our faith in it. And by doing that, you certainly know that I have never given you a license to go out here and sin, because since God's grace is God's grace, sin doesn't matter. Sin will cut you off at the ankles, and it'll cut you off at the knees, and it'll cut your head off eventually. So stay away from it. Because now we've got the grace of God in us. We got the Spirit of God in us. It changed us on the inside. And now sin can't make us do what it used to make us do. And we can get to the point where we don't even hear it calling. At least calling us with any effect. You can't keep the devil from standing out in your yard yelling at you, but you don't have to go out there and see what he's doing. One other scripture I want you to turn to. 1 John chapter 5. By the way, persuasion, prayer of persuasion, persuade, when you're persuaded about something, you have confidence in it. It's interchangeable words. First John chapter 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence, or this is the persuasion that we have in him or about him. This is the persuasion that we have about him. Our persuasion is this. Our confidence is this. Our belief is this, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, I've just been praying and praying, and I don't know whether God's hearing me or not because the heavens just seem like brass. How are you going to know He hears you? You're going to have confidence. You're going to have to be persuaded that when you pray, God hears you. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Lord, I'm so unhappy with my wife. Give me another one. Oh, I didn't hear what you said. Why? Because it's not God's will. Is it God's will? Lord, my wife and I are having problems. I submit myself to you to help me help her and help her help me work out these problems that we have because we're together. And at one time, we got together because we loved each other. Help us to work it out. Lord, I ask you to heal me if it be your will. Don't you know yet whether or not it's God's will for you to be healed? Then read the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. I'm just too bad to be saved. You are not. You never were, and you never will be. Only if you believe you are. And then when you believe that, you're not persuaded that God's able to save to the uttermost. Who forgives all of our iniquities. That includes even being divorced and remarried. I got to get on that too. I mean, there's people out here to forgive you for murdering a family. But you can't give forgiveness for leaving your wife and getting a divorce. Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases except the ones that He can't heal. Who heals all of our diseases. God's word is His will. And His Spirit will tell you His will for you. You can't pick up the Bible and read and says, go over see so-and-so and tell them about Jesus. But the Spirit of God can tell you that. And if we know that He hears us, if we know that He hears us, that's the first thing you need to do is to get to the point where you're persuaded that He hears you when you ask Him something. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Why? Because we've done enough now to earn it, or because it's His pleasure to give us freely the kingdom. He just wants you to have what Jesus died for. And He just wants us to believe and be persuaded that that's what we have. That's ours. All that God promised is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Boy, a lot of people sung that and didn't believe it. Easy to sing. It's easy to say. You know, if you're taught right, confession is easy. The catch comes, are you believing what you're confessing? Are you persuaded that what you're saying is the truth? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses unto salvation. He confesses unto saving. He confesses unto healing. He confesses unto deliverance. He confesses unto provision. I'm trusting God to meet all my needs. Well, what are you going to do next week when that bill comes? I don't know, but I'll do something. That sounds a little bit not quite right to me. Well, I'm trusting God to take care of everything. What are you going to do? I don't know. God's taking care of it. God's taking care of it. God's taking care of it. I know a situation where some individuals came up against a tremendous financial pressure. I mean, just about to, everything was about to collapse. And they had a building they'd been trying to sell for years and nobody wanted to buy. And when this tremendous pressure came on them, like the devil said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You know what happened? Yes, you're ahead of me one step, right? Just happened. Right at this time, they sold the other building. And they got enough out of it to relieve the financial pressure off of them, and I have some left over to set aside to make sure that we don't let ourselves and get in this shape again. But I know this couple, and I know that not one time do I believe that they ever said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? If it don't look like we've got enough people to keep paying the bills, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you something. Last Sunday morning, and some of you may know we've been struggling. Last Sunday morning, the offering, our total offering here last Sunday morning was over $4,000. I don't know where some of it came from. And we had a few guests here last Sunday morning. They might have helped with the offering for Driven, but I don't think you could count on them to have done much for our regular offering. And you know, you don't always have to know, but one thing, there was somebody told me, one of our counters, there was a handful just wadded up or folded up and put in there, a handful of money. It was 10 $100 bills. Somebody put $1,000 in there and didn't get credit for it, except in the eyes of God, because they didn't ask for credit. They didn't put it in there to get. Now, where it came from? Ultimately came from God, because if it hadn't been for God, they probably wouldn't have had it. So what are we going to do? We're going to trust God and go on. I mean, you know, it's not like there's nobody out there that needs what we've got here. It's just that there's a lot of voices that are saying similar things, maybe not exactly, but similar things, and they're closer to where they're residing. Hey, what do? We do what God called us to do, and we don't change our mind. Unless it's something we find out that we're not agreeing with Him about, and then we start agreeing with Him. That's when it's all right to change your mind. And we don't do anything because somebody else is doing it. We do what we do because God has instructed us to do that. And if He wants us to do something different, He told me years ago, you will never get to the point where you don't have to trust me. It'll never get good enough that you don't have, that you can say, oh, well, we've arrived, everything's working good. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here. Sit down, rest. We're supposed to be sitting and resting, trusting Him. And we are. And you're going to see things change. We're going to see things change. That was one of the things that I told God. I said, I am not going to sit here and worry about what's going to happen to New Life, regardless of how many people are sitting in the pew. But you're going to take care of it. And there are people out there that need this message, and when they find out that they need it, we're going to see them. But all of us have got to show them what we have. And I know a lot of us are. And you look at what God's doing and not what, you know, we're trying to persuade God or men. I'm not trying to persuade God to do anything because I know what God wants to do. It's men that I can't figure out sometimes. But see, the prayer of persuasion will rob you of your time and energy if you spend all your time trying to convince God that He should do for you what He's already said He'd freely give to you. Just receive it, believe it, accept it, and do the work of the kingdom. Amen. Let's stand. Sam, I believe that the Lord wants me to tell you that in the future, in the days ahead, that there are going to be some things that are going to be asked of you. You're going to be pushed to do some things, and you're going to hear some little voices that say, "Are you sure you're capable of doing that? Are you sure you're up to that?" And God says, through Him, you can do all things. The doors are going to open. You think the doors have opened already? Things are going to happen that's going to put you in a greater position in the kingdom of God, in a greater position in ministry than what you see. And He said, because you're excited now, I can do something else for you. And I just say this to you. If you're doing something and you're not excited about what you're doing, why is God going to give you something better to do? A lot of people say, well, as soon as God gives me something to do, I'm going to go to work. You got something to do, so go to work. And when God starts seeing you doing what you are doing, He's saying, I can trust Him with something else. I'm going to give Him something else. I'm going to move Him up. Move Him along. Prosper Him. Because I got confidence in Him. I'm persuaded. God looks at us and He is persuaded that you can do everything that He asks you to do. There's no doubt in His mind. If there was a doubt in His mind that you couldn't do it, guess what? He wouldn't ask you. So keep that in mind. God's persuaded about you. You just need to make sure you're persuaded about Him. And get it going. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads. I want you to ask yourself, am I persuaded? Am I persuaded that God wants every good thing for me? That it's His pleasure to give me the kingdom? Settle that. You'll see something you've never seen. With a new confidence that you've never had. God does truly indeed love you. And He has a plan for you. And He thinks about you thoughts of peace and not of evil, in order that He may bring to you hope and a future. Settle it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I have a confidence that asking anything in Your name, according to Your will, we receive it. You saved us. You heal us. You provide for us. And that's not going to stop, and that's not going to change. And You give us the wisdom that we need to to walk with you because we ask. And if we ask according to your will, we know that we receive it. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I ask you to be with each one here as we leave, and each one, Lord God, that may be listening to this on internet broadcast, that we can be persuaded as Paul was. I am persuaded that he's able to do for me everything that needs to be done, and that he will do it. Thank you, Lord, for that. May your peace rest upon each one, and may your mercy and your grace follow us all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just handed a note here. First Baptist Gospel Choir will be celebrating their 36-year choir anniversary on Sunday, November the 16th, which is a week from today. Is that right? Yeah. At 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're all invited to come to that. Also, don't forget, if you can help tomorrow with the meal following the funeral for Miss Rita, we need you to sign up on the Sunday.